broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, day one, NFL draft is complete. The Houston Texans, of course, picking number 3, and they were picking number 13 overall until they did a little trade with Philly. But it was a good day. We've had a lot of opinions. Some people didn't like the pick. Some people did. Are they going to change the franchise? How much better will they make the team? Only time will tell. But we know that they went with Derek Stingley Jr. at number 3 overall, the cornerback from LSU, and then they stuck with the hometown kid, Kenyon Green, Humble, Texas.
We've talked a lot about Stingley Jr., and I'll be honest, offensive line talk is generally boring as hell. Let's be honest here. No offense to any offensive linemen out
there. Yeah, you guys are great people.
Like my guy Wade Smith and some of these other folks who are in town. It's for the hardcore football fans out there. But if you like watching dudes run downfield and pancake mother bleepers all over the field, I mean, that's what I saw Green doing in the highlights that I watched of him at Texas A&M. And if you read the scouting report, this is just a guy who is a fantastic run blocker. He's versatile, which is a plus, but spare me the versatility stuff. The Texans generally have had a hard time when it comes to figuring out how to properly manage that versatility and sometimes perhaps relying on it too much. It's obviously a help in a moment where there's some injuries and in a pinch you need to move somebody maybe to a more important position on the outside. But you had the worst running attack in team history last year. And you can't tell me that was all the running backs.
Right.
3.2 yards a carry, 32nd in the NFL. Maybe it was 3.4, whatever it was. It was bad. And the only way that that gets better is if you have two guys to the side of your center who are just mean and want to beat the hell out of people.
There were pictures of Kenyon Green going viral of when he played basketball at Atascocita, and I was concerned for the health of the people that had to guard him. He's a big boy. And you tweeted and deleted a video. It didn't seem like he was happy at first to be in Houston. But then the full video, as released by people that were there, actually revealed that he was very happy when it was taken. In fact, some of his family members had some Texans gear ready.
Yeah. And look, I mean, they live here. So go to Academy, get a couple of T-shirts, get a couple of hats. And it was a pretty lively atmosphere. I liked how nonchalant he was as he filmed it. There was, and that's why at first they showed like the delayed video, and I posted it and I deleted it because I feel bad. I don't want
Paul doesn't want to be a hater just yet.
Well, no, it's not being a hater. It's I don't want to make the guy look like he hates it here. You know, I saw a 5-second clip on ESPN and he was shaking his head, and I was like, whoa, that's not the reaction facially that you want. But I think that they were operating on the delay before he was actually picked. He looked pretty thrilled to be here, and you know, good. I'm happy that they're adding to the offensive line. And if you can find now someone to hand the football off to today, where you have three picks, you pick in the second round, you with the 37th pick, I believe, and then you have, I think, 68 and 80 in the third. I wonder if one of those third-round picks is going to be for a running back. They sure have a lot
Could
of running
be.
Backs in the room. You know, you bring in Marlon Mack. You have Rex Burkhead still and stuff. But you can definitely do better. And talent at that position does matter. So add a little extra, please.
Lance Zierlein was on with us this morning, and he had said that he thought that that could definitely happen. Let's hear from Derek Stingley Jr. I asked him what his conversations were like with the Texans brass when he met with them at the Combine and after. Here's what he said.
Just everybody around there, just it was good. It was a good vibe. I could tell that things were going to be different from the past. Everything was on like everything was trending upward over there.
Yeah. Trending upward. I like that. I like that he feels optimistic about it. And look, these guys just got drafted. They're going to probably say nice things about wherever they're going. But this isn't the first time that we've heard a player say things are improving. Things are on the up and up. Things are getting better. And as hard as I have been on the Texans front office and decisions they've made, and I think that that was justified, right? It is worth noting that players are starting to come here, whether it's free agents. Now, this obviously player didn't have a choice because it was the draft. But players talk. They have the same agents. They have the same friend group. They have the same alumni group. They're all LSU guys, or they're all, you know, in the same friend group. And they talk. And the narrative that's coming out is that people don't hate coming to the Texans anymore. No. And so I think that there is some positivity there. And I certainly hope that Derek Stingley Jr. continues to feel that halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah. I think we all feel that way. Will it happen is another story. Because this is a guy who was a part of an LSU program that went from the pinnacle to being an absolute dumpster fire last year. And it changed really quickly, and there's a lot of varying reasons, and I know that some people on the Twitch who are, I believe, LSU supporters have said there's a lot of stuff going on. I think part of it was Ed Orgeron might have been feeling a little bit too comfortable, but there are also some political things in the locker room, too, that maybe poisoned the well a little bit. Whatever the case, Stingley was checked out. You have to acknowledge that.
Right.
Can you justify him being checked out in 2022 in the age of me, in the age of player empowerment, in the age of, hey, you're looking out for yourself and nobody else? Yeah, you could definitely justify it. But it's also something that if you're a team, you're wondering about. You know, are you someone who is going to be the proverbial good, loyal soldier? Or are you a hired gun? And maybe you pick your spots and maybe you aren't committed to tackling. And I think these are things people are wondering about. But Stingley being drafted third overall, he has now been thrust into a position where, by default, he has to be a leader of this team. And
it's a great point.
To go from
he
where
doesn't
he,
get to get babysat.
No, he doesn't. And he's going to, I mean, he has to change that narrative about him now. Whether it's true or untrue, that is what people perceive him as. I'm not saying his teammates necessarily feel that way, but I imagine that there are some that are in the decision-making process, whether it be Nick Caserio or Lovie Smith, who have that in the back of their mind. They do the interviews. They do their due diligence. They try to get to the absolute bottom of what makes Derek Stingley Jr. Tick, but you never 100% know. Right. You know, it's a job interview. I mean, I'm sure, Vanessa, you have had job interviews where you've been saying and singing yes. all the things that person wants to hear because you want to get hired.
Yeah.
I have too.
We have all done it. Meanwhile, big changes in the AFC South last night, and it did not just come in the form of draft picks. The Titans traded A.J. Brown after Mike Vrabel vehemently denied that he would, and it probably wasn't his choice, quite frankly. But the Titans trade A.J. Brown for pick 18 and a third.
I've been taking a look at just the Tennessee coverage
sure.
of this. Joe Rexroad is a Tennessee writer for The Athletic, and he put out a piece. This has a chance to go down as a legendary gaffe.
Oh.
They are not feeling this. And to go a little further with this column, the Titans cheaped out here. If we are to believe Joe Rexroad, Brown told what's his name? Teron Davenport.
Yeah.
He told him
ESPN.
That an ESPN guy. Yeah. Okay. That the Titans' top offer was $16 million a year with incentives, taking it as high as $20 million. He would have signed for $22 million a year, and he did not ask out. And he wanted to make that very clear.
He did not tweet it.
Right. And I think I saw a tweet that was just up on ESPN, which we have in front of us, where he says, "Love y'all, Tennessee.
It's not my fault."
He didn't mm-hmm. want this. Mike Vrabel didn't want this. This is cheap ownership.
It's very cheap. It's very cheap. And for me, this might have won the Colts the AFC South. And no, that's not wishful thinking. I'm just saying when you look at and take inventory of the AFC South and you see where the Texans and the Jags are. Now, I do think we're going to see upside from Trevor Lawrence now that he is a competent head coach. And I do think Davis Mills has the potential to do a good job and the Texans have the potential to win more games. But we all knew it would probably be between the Titans and the Colts for that AFC South race. I mean, the Titans crapped it away.
Yeah.
Now, not saying the Colts will make it very far in the playoffs. This is the AFC. Okay, let's just be realistic here. But this is like a really strange move. I know that they got Treylon Burks. I know they drafted a wide receiver. There's no guarantee he's going to be good.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee that any of these guys are going to be good. You know A.J. Brown is good.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Tannehill needs all of the help he can get.
Preach, baby.
Yes, queen.
Seriously.
No, it is. I get it.
They
gave the AFC South to the Colts last night.
They should have been in, as it was, on the Russell Wilson sweepstakes or the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. But when you think about whatever deal Russ is eventually going to get, which I imagine he will ask for a substantial amount of money, or what Aaron Rodgers just got from Green Bay, don't you think that money was probably the biggest obstacle for Tennessee wanting to do something like that? Just what else would you point at? They were 13-4 last year. The quarterback lost them, cost them the one seed for the third straight time that they have lost as a one seed in the first game that they have played. And you do nothing. You just stand pat. And then you trade one of your best players, and then you trade back to get second-round picks as opposed to, you know, sticking with the extra first-round pick that you had because you got it for A.J. Brown. You trade back and you get more. I thought this was a team that was on the precipice of something.
Do you remember last year preseason, the Titans were one of the choices to maybe go to the Super Bowl?
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
And to their credit, despite a ton of injuries, they were the one seed in the AFC. They were so injured last year. They deserve Derrick a lot Henry. Of credit for that. You know, I know I'm petty when it comes to Titans fans, but that was, I think, a very admirable effort that they put together last year. And you just tell the entirety of that roster, yeah, bleep off. That's what ownership is doing, and it is so on brand for the Adams clan, a bunch of cheapos, so I love to watch it happen. Burn, Tennessee. Burn. Poverty franchise.
Paul Gallant, 2023, for the mayor of Tennessee. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we explore some of those trades a little bit more, plus wide receivers are, as the kids say, having a moment. That's next.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Some absolute blockbuster trades last night. Yes, blockbuster. That is not hyperbole as A.J. Brown heads to Philly.
Well, yeah, Hollywood Brown. That's like investing in blockbuster stock.
I totally missed that. It was right in front of me.
It was on the table. I'm wearing flannel. It is kind of Pearl Jammy.
It is Pearl Jammy.
But it is a Tom Petty shirt. Let it be known.
Tom Petty's on the back. Our friends on Twitch can't see it, but he is there. Titans traded A.J. Brown to Philly, signed him to a four-year, $100 million contract with $57 million guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cardinals did trade for Hollywood Brown, making Kyler Murray happy-ish for at least one more year before he complains. Again, Lamar Jackson not happy, tweeting, and I quote, WTF.
Yep.
End of tweet, as Lamar and Hollywood Brown were best friends.
That's how I feel,
it's
too.
Bold. It's bold for the Ravens to do him like that.
What's different, though, is that there will always be people that assume the Ravens know what they're doing, and I do think that they can do better than Hollywood Brown. That is a very undeserved nickname at the NFL level.
Yeah, did he give himself... nicknames for a second. Did he give himself that nickname?
I don't know.
Hate when people give themselves a nickname.
I'm going to shut up then. I'm not going to talk any.
Wait, why? Did you give yourself a nickname?
I mean, I called myself Paul Stradamus earlier in the show.
But that's not like a real nickname. Second, you don't expect people to call you that.
Second, in fourth grade, I wanted to go by Slash because I thought I was so good at things and I thought Cordell Stewart was cool for a while. And then in high school, I went by the PG Train.
No, you didn't.
I did.
No, you didn't. Nobody called you that.
I did, because I was the PG Train.
Wait.
It was an alter ego.
So you wanted people to call you that?
No, I didn't want anyone to call me it. This was just my alter ego. When I was on the field, I was just extreme. Like, at practice, I was very loud and obnoxious and talking trash all the time.
I'm shocked.
I think a lot of people are like, that's you in real life?
Wow.
Not very PG.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. But imagine just me sounding like Terry Tate, office linebacker, while playing high school football. That was me.
Woo! Here comes the PG Train. I'm Pauly Gallant, and I'm going to be a future radio star.
Believe me, I know how lame it is.
No. But Hollywood Brown does legitimately. Brendan, you think that sounds like a nickname he gave himself, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
There's someone in my family that we called Hollywood, and it was because of how metro he dressed.
7584 says he's from Hollywood, Florida. Okay.
You gonna name yourself after your hometown? Are you like the greatest thing that ever came out of Hollywood, Florida?
Yeah.
That does make sense.
5449 brings up a very good point about our last segment. Let's be honest, Nashville is the second best city in Tennessee. Memphis is definitely much better.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been to either.
In Memphis. Yeah.
I haven't been to either.
What? Wait.
No, I've never been to Tennessee.
You've never been to Nashville?
No. No.
Okay, this is shocking.
Why is it shocking?
So we're going to go to the Texans-Titans game. We're going to make a road trip, yeah. Because you need to go.
I'm going to get killed.
Because if you hate it so much, first of all, you're going to probably hate
it. No, that's why I don't want to go, because I don't want to like the city.
Yeah, because there's a lot of college girls. There's a lot of bachelorette parties.
Wow, hang on.
There's
a lot of... I'm not that creepy.
No, I mean, there's a lot of fun women and in a good mood. There's good food. There's good music. You might actually like Nashville.
I think I would like Nashville. Yeah. That's why I can't go.
But you can still hate the team there.
But Vanessa, a lot of the energy that I carry, hating random parts of the country for no reason at all, I know that when I go there, I will like these places because I actually do have an open mind.
Yeah.
The thing is, I just like to close my mind off so that I will just never entertain myself with the idea of going to that, you know, state that's overrun with cannibals and squirrel eaters.
Yeah. I think you'd like Nashville.
Nashville known for cannibals.
So the Lamar Jackson, or excuse me, the Hollywood Brown trade is definitely catering to Kyler Murray. And this is interesting because Kyler seemed so badly to want to leave Arizona and now is acting like it never happened. And they bring in his BFF from Oklahoma.
Yeah. And it must be the kind of move that you're just bending over backwards to present yourself. It's the new fancy swanky lingerie. Hey,
remember
it's me, Steve Keim. Yeah. Look at me, Kyler. Ooh. This is a short-term solution.
He'll be at it again next season, complaining.
I would think so, but I would imagine that this is the kind of goodwill gesture that you make, saying, hey, look, like we'll keep this guy around long-term. But, you know, just like the question we asked a little bit earlier, Vanessa, do you want to give your coach all of the input in building a roster? You got to be really careful when you're talking to a quarterback about it. And look, I'm just not that impressed by Hollywood Brown. As a number two wide receiver to DeAndre Hopkins on a core that also features Rondale Moore, you know what? Okay, maybe that's not the worst idea in the world, but I don't know. I don't think he's worth a first-round pick.
Meanwhile, as the kids say, the wide receivers are having a moment. It has been an odd offseason in the NFL. So far, A.J. Brown is an Eagle. Hollywood Brown is a Cardinal.
It's a good move by Philly, by the way.
Tyreek
we haven't even touched
Hill
on the Philly angle of it.
Is a Dolphin. Devontae Adams is a Raider. Allen Robinson is a Ram. And Amari Cooper is a Brown. Is a Brown. Yes. That sounds weird, though. What an offseason it's been for wide receivers.
It really has been. And I think that this is a really interesting time because when you look at the big contracts that are being given out, I mean, A.J. Brown got $100 million from the Eagles. And I think it's a smart move for Philadelphia. If you really want to give Jalen Hurts the best chance to develop as a passer, okay, give him another weapon. So he has Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. You know, I suggested earlier this week that they try with D.K. Metcalf, and they got another guy who played with D.K. Metcalf Ole Miss. Now I wonder, though, what does this mean success-wise for all these teams that are paying these big-time contracts?
And which one will make the biggest impact? Because that's like, who is going to absolutely come in and change the team and maybe make them a playoff contender or get them past the hump? Like, do you think Devontae Adams as a Raider can get them in the playoffs?
Yeah, but, you know, they were there.
They were there.
You know,
yeah,
are they going to get further than where they got, I guess, is the question. Okay, maybe you get to the next round. That's what I'm trying to marinate with here, Vanessa, as far as it's not about the impact. All these guys make their teams better by default, but how much better do they make them? And is that incremental increase in your ability, is that worth these contracts that are being given out to players who largely are going to touch the ball, what, 8 to 15 times a game? Like 15 on a good day, 15 targets or something like that? That's what's so tricky about wide receiver. Like, it's a luxury to have a good one, but they're so damn expensive considering how little they get the football.
Gus Johnson, 9754 says Gus Johnson on Fox gave Hollywood Brown his nickname because he's from Hollywood, Florida. Not a good enough reason. John Gruden giving Peyton Manning the nickname of the sheriff never should have been a thing, and now it's on a statue, and I'm going to hate him forever for it.
Yeah, well, he is the sheriff.
Nobody called him the sheriff. I'm just telling you, nobody called him the sheriff.
Shouldn't have told me that annoys you, because now I'm going to call him the sheriff. from here on out. That's why I call him the sheriff.
That's terrible.
I call him the sheriff for no good reason whatsoever.
I think that Davante Adams, per my question, and of course we would love your insight on Twitch, on Twitter, the most tumultuous wide receiver offseason in NFL history results in a lot of these moves. Of course, Davante Adams being a Raider. Which one of those, though, makes the biggest difference in their team's success this upcoming season? I think it could be Davante Adams to the Raiders. I mean, you know, is Allen Robinson being a Ram going to make that big of a difference? Because they just won a Super Bowl,
he's
right?
He's never played with a good quarterback before,
is Marquise
before,
Brown
though.
Being a Cardinal going to make that big of a difference?
Forget I don't
could,
think so, no.
But I don't think so either. Maybe A.J. Brown to the Eagles. Maybe Davante Adams to the Raiders is the one that makes the most immediate impact.
You have to have the capable quarterback. And if you go through that list, who are the guys that are playing with good quarterbacks? Marquise Brown when Kyler Murray's healthy, but I think he's all these guys that you listed, he's the least talented one. It's Allen Robinson or Amari Cooper. We're not going to see Deshaun Watson probably for the first quarter
good
of the
point.
Year at the very least. Robinson to the Rams is such a home run of a signing. I mean, the guy has played with bums his whole career. And, you know, now that Stafford has proven himself to us, the national media, I know Brendan Riley behind the glass, big Detroit Lions fan, is like, he's been proving it all this time, bro! But with Allen Robinson, I mean, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say it's a definitive upgrade over Robert Woods, but I've always felt like he's an underappreciated player that's just been stuck in the worst situations, and now here he is, where he is a secondary target to Cooper Kupp. I mean, that's a pretty damn awesome place to be in.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, more NFL draft chatter and our edition of Do You Buy It? Some consensus takes, things that everybody kind of seemed to agree on from last night. But do you agree on it? We'll talk about it next.
You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Friday. Vanessa and Gallant here with you. We got Brendan behind the glass. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He is at Gallant Says. As we finish out this week, it was a fun week, a lot of draft chatter, but much to the delight of Paul Gallant, my co-host, no longer any mock drafts.
Yeah, I'm just done. I hate
the
build-up.
He was done yesterday.
It's because it's the same thing for like 2 months after the NFL Combine. And to me, I'd rather, instead of speculate on what could happen, like I don't know, it feels like wasted energy.
While there's a lot of disagreement on mock drafts and, of course, actual drafts, every now and then you have some consensus. You have some people that seem to just agree on certain narratives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what online is.
Right? Everyone agrees all the time.
Do you fall in line with the groupthink, or are you the man wearing the black hat?
I had a conversation with my hairstylist while I was getting my hair done yesterday about the concept of groupthink and about how it has led to some interesting moments in this country in the last 2 years on both sides of the political aisle.
On the pro-Jack Easterby and the anti-Jack Easterby crowds?
On all of it, about how people say things and do things that they would never do when there is a group involved. But that's for our sociology show that we host from 7 to 9 on Friday mornings.
What? No, I don't want to do more work.
Yeah.
Is that coming up next? No, I'm not coming in at 7 on Friday.
What we're going to do now is talk about some of those consensus takes. Some of the things that people did seem to agree on, storylines, narratives, etc. And we start with Kyle Hamilton. Kyle Hamilton goes to the Ravens. The consensus, the Ravens just keep on winning.
Oh, that's such a Ravens pick. The Ravens find a guy who's a top five pick. He just falls right into
their
lap.
I mean, I agree. I agree. This is a pick that you look at and you're like, yep, this makes a lot of sense. This guy was an unbelievably versatile game changer with range that isn't Ed Reed's level, whoever will be Ed Reed's level again. Best center fielder in NFL history as far as safeties go. But this is a guy who can cover a lot of ground, who can make plays, who can hit people. It's some hybrid version of Cam Chancellor and Ed Reed, a lesser of both of them. But
right,
I mean,
sure.
He's a big bleeping dude. He can hit. And I mean, it just makes so much sense that Baltimore gets a great defender like this. And by the way, I want to shout out Kyle Hamilton and his significant other. They have a wonderful handshake.
They do.
It's a very cute handshake. I believe that's how you termed it, Vanessa, in our group chat.
It's cute, and they're both super good. Like, they're both very good looking people. They're a cute couple.
Yes, the scouting reports would agree with his significant other. You know, having that kind of first round talent.
As I sneeze,
I'm trying not to sound creepy.
I know, and
she was attractive. I'm not gonna lie.
She was, but they're both attractive people. Okay, so Paul agrees with that. I agree with it too. The New York Jets had the best draft class of the night. That was another consensus. Agree or disagree?
Well, look, they made a lot of moves. They got Sauce Gardner with that fourth pick, and I think that for some, they view him as the best corner available. I do wonder if the Jets wanted Derek Stingley Jr. and that this was who they had to take instead. They get Ohio State wide receiver Garrett Wilson at 10th. And then you go to the back of the draft, and they get defensive end Jermaine Johnson from Florida State, who is supposed to be, in the eyes of some, potentially like a borderline top 10 pick. They got three guys, and I understand the excitement, but this is the same bleeping thing with Jets fans, especially over the last couple of years. And I saw Jake Asman from the Wheelhouse.
Yeah, this was funny.
Who was like, yes, the Jets are doing it. And I'm like, I mean, Do we not remember the last couple of drafts? Hey, Mekhi Becton, home run pick. Oh, wait, is he still a home run pick? Denzel Mims. Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. He falls to the Jets. I think the jury is still out on Joe Douglas, and I feel like...
So you disagree. So who had the best draft class?
I just have a hard time saying it's the New York Jets. Like,
I'm actually going with the New York Giants. Shout out to Joe Shane. I think the fact that his first draft as a GM, he gets Thibodeau and Neal. I think that he looked at the positions of need. He took that plus best player available mindset. So I actually disagree that the New York Jets had the best draft class of the night. I think the sure thing goes to Joe Shane and the New York Giants.
That's a good call. I liked what the Giants did. I mean, Thibodeau is definitely a character of a personality. And if that works out for him in New York, that guy, he's meant
for New York.
He is. He has straight hand potential in terms of the actual star power that he shows out there. Do I want to keep talking about the Giants? No, I'm going to change this. I'm going to change the subject.
The Lions. The Lions also got it right. By thinking this was another consensus. People agreed the Lions got it right.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Hometown kid and Jameson Williams. Disagree that the Lions got it right?
Oh, they crushed
it. I'll agree
it.
On this one.
I can't believe that they were able to get Jameson Williams. They trade up. They get aggressive. And, I mean, that's the best receiver in this year's draft class. That's why I look at what the Jets did at 10th, and they take Garrett Wilson, and I'm like, okay, I'm not that whelmed. It's a big, athletic, Big Ten receiver. I don't take the Big
Consensus,
Ten seriously.
The Packers should have gotten Aaron Rodgers, the wide receiver. I agree with this one, too. I think they should have. He didn't seem too mad about it on Pat McAfee, but I think they should have gotten him a weapon. It's going to be the same thing that we see in the playoffs when they need a big play and there's not that guy to make it because Davante Adams is gone.
Yeah. I don't think you force a wide receiver at any of the picks that you have, but that's what's interesting with Green Bay in this draft. Like they had two opportunities. And they went defense with both. If you're Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you're going on another cleanse right now. You have to. You must be really mad about that. So that by Green Bay, I don't like to force a team to pick a player at a specific position. Draft who you like, but defensively, to continue to go in that direction when the offense was the big issue in the season-ending loss, I don't get that one. This one made me laugh. It's very funny that the Dallas Cowboys drafted an offensive lineman from Tulsa who, based off of whatever website you read the scouting report from, either had 12 penalties or 16 penalties in his last year playing for the Golden Hurricane. So it's one or the other. This is a guy who is a penalty machine, and you're bringing him onto a Dallas Cowboys team that pooped away the game against the San Francisco 49ers by penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty. So it's on brand. So the consensus is this a Cowboys pick? Hell yeah, it is.
There you go. All right, Chris Sims last night tweets this right after Derek Stingley Jr. is picked by the Texans. I'm frankly shocked Nick Caserio is going with Derek Stingley Jr. here, the ultimate boomer bust prospect in the draft to me. 2019, he looked like a future Darrelle Revis, but I can't get behind using a top pick guy on a guy who hasn't had good tape in 2 years. Agree or disagree with Chris Sims? This, by the way, was not a consensus, so I'm straying a little bit, but I did think it was an interesting opinion.
It's certainly a polarizing opinion, that's for sure. I think you are what your best tape says you are, and I definitely am a strong believer in the idea that he is going to have to grow up a bit.
Yeah.
Just based off of what you saw. Like if the situation around you crumbles, it's one thing to not do anything about it when you're in college. But when you're a top five pick, it's going to be on you in a year or two to be the person that prevents that from happening altogether. You have to step up and stop it. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I don't know if it was an insurmountable obstacle to potentially stop the LSU Tigers program from falling apart in the way that it did. I'm not putting it all on him. I'm just saying he did not seem to be a part of the solution there. It seemed like he was sort of, hey, I'm just going to get out and get to the draft. And once I get drafted, then I can take things seriously again. You're getting paid for it. There's logic behind it, but there are different expectations on his shoulders now.
I definitely think that we'll see some interesting personality traits possibly come out from Derek Stingley Jr. if we get halfway through the season and the Texans have only won maybe 2 to 3 games. I think that true colors could be seen, and hopefully he's able to mature. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, who stole the show at the 2022 NFL Draft? We'll continue to talk about that, and you do not want to miss our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We certainly want to hear what you guys have to say. Who stole the show at the NFL draft last night? It could be a particular player. It could be a celebrity, a fan, a girlfriend, a mom. Who stole the show?
I mean, bonk me, but Kyle Hamilton's girlfriend. That was an awesome handshake.
It was a great handshake.
I mean, it's not just that she's gorgeous. She also can pull off a handshake, which I am too awkward to do. I never know if I'm supposed to give someone a handshake, dab them. I always screw it up. Should I just do a fist bump? And here she is with her significant other, and they're giving each other some sort of under-the-table handshake.
It was cute.
As opposed to making out. You know, no PDA either. I mean, that is the telltale sign of a very put together relationship. So good job by them.
Yeah, they were a very attractive couple. I was surprised that he slid down that far. My pick is Kayvon Thibodeau. I liked that he danced when he came on stage. I liked that he had a handshake with Roger Goodell. Not sure they stuck the landing, but it was a good attempt. And I like that he is New York ready. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau was like made to play in New York.
That he was. And I said it last segment. I'll say it again. There are some potential Strahan vibes, personality-wise,
right,
from him. What's he going to be like, though, now that he's an NFL player? We'll see. He is, I think, the kind of player that maybe was getting his draft stock, at least publicly, scrutinized because he's a player that's very comfortable saying whatever the hell's on his mind.
I love it.
And some teams don't like it, though. Still, even though it's 2022.
I know some teams don't like it. I actually love it. And here's why. I think we ask for authenticity and honesty from GMs, owners, coaches, etc. And then in the rare occurrences that we get it, when you have Kayvon Thibodeau who says, like, yeah, I think I'm the best one. Why would anybody doubt me? I don't know. Seems stupid to me. He's outgoing. He's himself. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but he's being himself. And I think we need to at least appreciate when somebody is honest.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of people think that who stole the show might have been Roger Goodell in the first couple of segments with his extreme dad jokes and him inviting Ice Cube on stage saying, Cube, get up here, baby. I liked that side of him.
I hated it. I hated Roger Goodell every single moment that he was on the television. He deserved to be booed harder than he actually was.
Ah.
What?
2336 has an interesting choice for who stole the show.
Who's that?
The Make-A-Wish kid for the New York Giants.
Am I? So, okay. Full disclosure, guys, okay? So, when I watch these things on TV,
okay,
I'm not paying super close attention to the actual broadcast the whole way. I'm looking at Twitter, looking at my computer. I'm doing a couple of different things at the same time. But I look up at the TV and I see this kid. And look, by default, I hate all New York sports fans.
You do.
I'm from Boston. This is how we roll. We arbitrarily hate fans of other teams for no reason other than they are wearing a different color shirt than us. And I see this kid and I almost tweeted out, this is the most insufferable New York jabroni I've ever seen.
He was
on
close.
Brand. New York little jabroni goes upstage being a giant peacock despite the Giants being a joke of a franchise. And then Roger Goodell says, from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And I was like, oh God, drop my phone. Did not tweet anything out. I almost canceled myself last night.
He did. And I will say this. I was in a group text with him. And Paul said, I almost tweeted that out.
I almost said
something. And I was very glad he didn't.
And look, he, you know why? And Brendan brought this up with me during the break. And it's actually very accurate. There is so much of me in that kid. Like, that is who I was at his age. That is 100% who I was. Just a Boston version of it. And, you know, a lot of you people, you might think that Boston and New York are the same, and I don't blame
you. I definitely
do. I mean, they're not that far apart. It's a 3-hour drive. But I was that kid. So I think that part of me not liking him was saying, oh, well, he's a New Yorker. Believe him. So I'm glad I didn't get canceled, and I'm glad I still have a job.
Who stole the show at the NFL draft last night? Somebody else said Sauce Gardner with his sauce, custom-made sauce diamond necklace. Did you see this?
No.
You didn't see this?
No. I wasn't paying attention to the red carpet.
Had a custom chain made with a bottle of sauce, all diamonds, that said sauce.
I bet he got it from Spencer's.
Absolutely incredible.
Maybe.
No, it was a jeweler.
Yes.
Other who Spencer's stole the draft, the someone said Kenny Pickett crying. Okay, here's the thing. That was a beautiful moment. Kenny Pickett, of course, University
Can't
of...
Can't draft him, loser. Crying? I mean, football players don't do that.
The Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh and... is it Pittsburgh University? It's University of Pittsburgh,
right?
I don't know. Pitt. We'll just call it Pitt.
Pitt's easier, yeah.
They practice right next to the Steelers. And so I thought that Mike Tomlin had a great quote that we searched around the country and then we picked the guy in our backyard. He was very emotional. He was sobbing. His parents and the draft party had some terrible towels, etc. It was a really, really special moment. And I do think that that was one of the sweetest moments of the draft.
Yeah, I can't even hate on it. You can't help but be happy for him. How many people that make it to the NFL get to play for the team that they grew up watching, get drafted by the team they grew up watching, get drafted on national TV by the team that they grew up watching. And we're not just talking about any franchise here, too. It's not like, hey, I'm a Chargers fan. I got drafted by the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, what franchise has more history than Pittsburgh?
All right. We now move to our garbage time segment. Here we go.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, so Aiden Hutchinson's family got some attention last night. We know Aiden Hutchinson, very outgoing guy. He's great with the media. He was wearing this like suit jacket last night, Paul. I don't know if you listened to any of the interviews. His mom had written the manifestations that he had told himself, like, I will be a Heisman finalist. I will win this award. All these things he had journaled throughout his high school and college career, his mom put on the inside of his jacket. It was super cute.
Yeah, they're attractive. Attractive family.
And that was the other reason.
Yeah.
Extremely attractive mom and sister, and a good-looking family.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with appreciating people for good looks. Everyone says that, hey, it's all about body positivity these days. Yes, if you're hot. Good job by that family's genetics. Good job keeping it going. Keep it going even further, baby.
Can you imagine? Also, I was thinking about this
being hot.
Night.
I am hot.
Well, yeah. No, you are. No. Paul, I meant
well
like that wasn't what I was going to say.
I'm just going to go cry after the show. You ruined my Friday.
Aiden Hutchinson and Dan Campbell. Can you say Meathead Central? Don't never forget
yes.
Last year when Dan Campbell was like, well, first we're going to push them down. Then we're going to bust their kneecaps. Then we're going to eat their kneecaps and went like full like brosif fraternity, like Meathead type deal. He and Aiden Hutchinson together, that's going to be fun.
As we continue our garbage time segment, Brendan, sorry to throw you under the bus here. Sean McVay had an interesting celebration.
Yes, I do want to get this in there. Good call.
Or reaction, I guess, to finding out. Do we have the audio of it? Hang on, we're waiting.
It may
on
be
it
at the. It may be, it's probably at the
that's
top
my
of the
own
rundown.
Fault.
But no, I mean, but to your point,
we
like
go 3 hours. It's so hard. All the other shows go 3 hours. We're the only one that does it.
We're like total divas.
Oh, running out of steam.
Les Snead and Sean McVay were on camera at a press conference.
Yeah.
Okay, because it's no secret the Rams don't have draft picks. When they found out that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots had drafted
Cole Strange. Here is the reaction.
Hey, where is... How about that? And we wasted our time watching him thinking he'd be at 104, maybe.
I hate it. First off, because, of course, the Patriots do a boring pick after trading back. Who the hell is this guy? Oh, someone that probably would have gone 60th overall. That's neat. That's on brand. And the other thing about it, after they just traded away one of their, you know, really good guards, too. But... I'm not going to lie. This just triggered me with Sean McVay. I hate how happy he is right now.
He is happy.
You scored 3 points in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. You should not be allowed to laugh at anything that they do. They owned you. They stuffed you into a locker in that game. And you won a Super Bowl not because of anything you did. You were the reason that those games were as close as they were in every single round of the playoffs, Sean McVay. Ugh! The victors get the spoils. He should not have been a victor.
The tough thing is that he's also just extremely likable in those moments because he laughs, he has fun with the media, and he knows how to play it. Meanwhile, a man with 9 wives has revealed that he has to make a schedule for sex. This is Arthur O. Urso. He's a Brazilian model. He has 9 wives. But he found it hard to sexually satisfy all of them, so he had to make a schedule, a rotation.
That is smart. Have you ever seen the television show Big Love?
No.
It was on HBO. It starred Bill Paxton, and it was about...
Is it overweight?
No. Oh. It's a show about a man from the Church of Latter-day Saints who has his own cul-de-sac with 3 different houses for his 3 different wives. They all live in 3 houses right next to each other, so he would probably have to do the same thing.
So does he have one that lives with him, like a main one?
He rotates, I guess, from house to house and family to family.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yes, it really is.
And you know what? More importantly, that allows those women to maintain independence.
Yeah.
And probably helps with the relationship dynamic.
Would you
not into polyamory or whatever it's called. But that's the way to do it. Everybody gets their own house. You don't have to be in the same bathroom sharing all that.
You're getting 1/9 of his sexual attention, though.
Nope.
Sorry. Like, if you're a lady in that situation, I would hope that you are getting your other 8/9 met elsewhere.
You would hope so, right? Coming up on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, you're going to hear from Jeremy Branham, Joel Blank, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 is up next.
ESPN 97.5.